Morning, everybody. I was looking at Mark 4 this morning. Said, I'll just read the whole thing. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was a gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things of the things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on the stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And the other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest any at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable, and how when ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, and entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. This morning I was praying and, you know, just meditating on the word and the Lord, and this scripture came to me. And basically, you know, I know this it has to do with sowing the word of God. And some people come to the Lord, I mean, they hear it, they spring up, they're happy, they're excited, and then they wither away. So we have an example of, you know, what we're going to run into. You know, you get out, you know, people come to the Lord, they get excited, and they go. So this explains why this happens. But one of the things I wanted to bring about was there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested. So, you know, the saying, God works in mysterious ways. Well, he doesn't, because there's nothing hid that he won't manifest to his believers, to those that are chosen. The other thing, too, you know, we were supposed to be open before for God, before Jesus. You know, we're not supposed to hide anything or pretend that we're anything different than what we are. We're supposed to love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. But, you know, the thing is you go out in the world, and are you one way in the world and then another way in front of your brothers and sisters in Jesus? Are you, you know, do you seek to hide those things that you don't think that they would accept? You know, if we're supposed to be open before God and we're supposed to be open before Jesus, we're supposed to be part of the body of Christ. Then we are supposed to be able to be open and honest before our brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, David was a man after God's heart. And the reason why is because he didn't try to hide things. He didn't try to pretend to be other than what he was. He didn't try to put on airs or try to be religious or whatever. He was who he was, and that's the way it was. And God accepted him for that. And that's how he became a man after God's heart. So, I mean, I think just about everybody's been through it in one form or another. But trying to just know that for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. So you might as well be open and honest before the Lord, because it's going to come out anyway.
The parable of the seed and the sower is a good one. And there are a couple things in it that I'd like to bring up. Did you turn this off, Gary? Did you turn this one off? Okay. And one of the things I wanted you to see, and one of the things I want to talk a little bit about, this different ground. And I want to talk about it because people tend to think, like, the one where the devil comes and takes it away, you know, those are the really bad people, right? Those are really bad people. No, it has. In fact, most of the ones that happened were like the Pharisees. Okay, the people everybody perceived as being the really good people. Okay, why? Because it had no place in them. I mean, the gospel, what does the gospel teach us? That we're bad and God is good. And because he's good, he made a way out for us, right? Isn't that what it basically comes down to? Because we couldn't make the way out ourselves? Well, if you like to think you're good, then where's the word going to find place in you? And so a lot of times, the ones who it falls by the wayside, where the fowls of the air come and take it, are actually the ones who, to people in the world, look the absolute best. The absolute best. And Jesus didn't want them to understand. If you notice over here, and he says over in verse 11, where Carrie was reading, he said, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, okay, you were talking about the body of Christ there, Carrie, those that are outside of the body of Christ. He does not want them to understand. Now, he wants them to understand. I mean, he'll open up the gospel to them, don't get me wrong. And one of the things is, and the reason why I'll open up the gospel, that's the only thing that is for those that are without is the gospel. Why do we preach other things? Makes us important. We know cool stuff that they don't know, right? And what do they do with it? They turn and rend you with it because they look at those things as just being stupid and idiotic and you don't know anything, right? And so we have to kind of get into where this whole thing is coming from. Our job is to minister the gospel to those that are without. What they do, whether they receive it, whether they don't receive it, or any of those other things, that's between that person and God. And you take the people who are really successful in the world and the people who are out at that, what do they usually say? What's their response to you? Well, that's good if that works for you. Anybody ever hear that kind of response? That's good if that, you know, I'm glad that works for you. Okay, that's what they say. I'm glad that works for you. Well, I'm sad that you're so deceived. I'm sad that you're so deceived that you would believe such a foolish thing. Such an idiotic thing as that. What? You follow what I'm saying? I mean, we operate from such a place of defense and being put down and down that we can't stand up and minister encourage and strength to people. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, the one that's foolish is that person. The one who is deceived and believing a lie is that person. All right? And if you love them, you're willing to cut. I mean, to separate that devourer that wants to come and devour that seed away from that, perchance they might hear. You follow what I'm saying? But you can't do that if it's all about you. And you're afraid of what they'll think of you, and you're afraid of all these different stuff, right? That's the one that falls amongst the cares of the world, you know, where we're afraid of all these things, and you can't stand up and speak such a simple thing to them. So, it says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven them. Now, the scene that we have here is Jesus in a ship, right? He's out, and the multitude on the shore, right? And all he's doing is sowing the seed. What happens between the person and his father is between them and his father, not between him and them, right? A lot of times, though, we're in much closer quarters. You know, I mean, we're in much closer quarters with an individual before us. It's just one-on-one or one in a couple or something like that. And it's really for that situation in which I'm laying out that other manner of dealing with it. You just, hey, if you want to be ignorant, be ignorant. Well, I'm not ignorant. I mean, because anybody who thinks that it's for you, it's good for you and stuff like that, the last thing they think of themselves, they think of you as being ignorant, okay? That's why you cleave to your guns and your Bibles when things get difficult, right? They think you're the ignorant one. They're the knowing one. You follow what I'm saying? All right. Now, Carrie mentioned the ones who it falls on the stony ground and immediately they spring up with joy. Why do they spring up with joy? Because they're getting something they want. Why do they depart? Because all of a sudden there's something they don't want. They get offended and they leave. For example, let me ask you something. When you read the Gospels, Jesus is pretty cool, isn't he? He's pretty cool. He did some awesome, cool stuff, right? I mean, awesome, cool stuff. And they killed him for it. That's pretty offensive. If you're Jesus. I don't mean it in the sense of he didn't understand that was going to happen and all the other things because he did. But if you're the one that falls on the stony ground and people come against you because of the word of God or you have to recognize certain truths about yourself that might not be so pleasant, like for example, maybe you need a different heart rather than a stony heart. that you need a different heart? Well, that's usually not all that pleasing, because that means, you mean there's something wrong with my heart? How could there be something? No, there's something wrong with those other people's hearts. Maybe it's my boss. Maybe it's some government official. Maybe it's my spouse. Maybe it's my children. Maybe it's my brothers and sisters. Maybe it's anybody. There's something wrong with their heart. Me? Mine's fine. You follow what I'm saying? And so what happens is the idea that you might actually have to acknowledge that there's something wrong with your heart, we struggle with that, right? But you know what the beauty is? Is when we recognize that, we sing a song, don't we? It's called Change My Heart, Oh God. Make it ever true. Right? You know, the Lord is able to change our hearts. He's able to create in me a clean heart, right? As David sang. This is David, the one who was after God's own heart. Transparent before God. Man, my heart filthy. It's got some major league problems here, and I need some help, and the only one who can help is you. Isn't that what basically David says in Psalm 51? I can't do this myself. There is no way I can't make myself to experience that joy of my salvation that once I had. I cannot make it. I cannot seem to, you know, draw it up from the earth or from any other place. Only you can restore unto me that joy. Only you can make my heart clean. Only you. You follow what I'm saying? So what happens is certain of these unpleasant truths about how, well, maybe I'm the one who's got the problem. Maybe I'm the one who's got to change. Nobody ever comes across that, right? You never come across that, right, Kaylee? It's people who don't come to church here who come across that. Those of us who are here, never happens, right? Uh-oh, I see people chuckling to themselves alike. I suspect we actually have this experience of recognizing, that ain't pretty. I don't kind of like that. And the question is then, what do you do? Do you get offended and leave? Or do you go to the Lord, who is faithful to change your heart? Okay, do you go to the Lord? You know, and we hit that other one, you know, the deceitfulness of riches, the one that falls on the, amongst the cares of this world, I mean, and the deceitfulness of riches. Right, so what happens is you receive it, but you also, you don't realize that you have one foot in both camps. You have one foot in the Lord and one foot in the world. And so you're still looking at the things of the world as the manner by which you're going to accomplish stuff. Right? If I only had this, oh, and I'm scared, what will they think? Okay, so you're navigating your life that way. Does that sound like the way the Lord asks us to navigate our life? Where we're constantly between afraid of what somebody else might think or what somebody else might do, and feeling like, well, if I only had more money, I could do these things. Right? I mean, now, does that relate? Does anybody relate to actually having that be the case, that that's what guides us? Okay. Now, I wanted to take you over in that to Ezekiel 11. Phil read this the other day. Last Sunday, I think it was. And I don't know how far he read, because I only heard a little bit of his service, but when I read that, I was like, I like that. I like that verse. Now, just for folks who don't know, Ezekiel was of the priests. He was of Aaron's seed. He was a priest. And he was a priest in a land called Babylon, because he and many other of the children of many of the Jews were carried away captive into Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, Daniel was one of those. We've read about it. Later, you read about like Esther, how she ended up having to, not by her own choice. She didn't go, boy, I wish I could be queen, but she was in captivity. She didn't have any choice, so she ends up being taken as queen. And you have Ezekiel's in that same time. And Israel's over in Babylon because they had been so right, correct? I mean, they just did everything right, and God wanted to bless them. So he said, here, I'm going to take you out of your land and throw you over there. Is that how it happened? No, they'd been carried away because of their disobedience and their rejection of the Lord. That's why. And here Ezekiel is over there. And there's a beautiful thing here. And I love this. It gives me hope. I don't know about you guys. You guys ever need some hope? All right. All right, let's see where we'll go. Well, I'll start back at verse 1 just to get us to where we want to get. Isn't it, or is it Ezekiel 13? Hang on a second. I might be in the wrong place. Let me go look at this. Where was it? Was it Ezekiel 11? It's where he says, is it 13? He talks about how he'll give them a new heart. Takes that stony heart.
No.
Ah, see how this happened. Sorry about for those folks who are out there in radio land. Oh, here it is. Here it is. It is 11. I was right to begin with. Apologize. All right, let's start with verse 16. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. First of all, isn't that a beautiful thing here? They were no, the temple destroyed. But God saying, notwithstanding the fact that the sanctuary where you all used to come, having been destroyed and no longer, I will be a little sanctuary to you, even right where you are. Isn't that awesome? He goes on, therefore thus say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you've been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. So in the midst of them being scattered and apart and separated, where they're not even together so that they can converse about this in certain instances. You know what I'm saying? They may be alone. Or maybe a family here, another person over here. And so they're not like all together in one place. And yet God is able to be with them in all of those places. You see what I'm saying? He's able to be with them in all of those places. And He will gather them out of the countries where you've been scattered. And I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither and shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. Okay, these are all the things that they had done to demonstrate that they did not believe God, but they believed in other things. Okay, that's all the detestable things he's looking at have them remove. Okay? And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh. For what end? That they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Anybody here want to be God's people? Now, I got to tell you, sometimes we come to this realization that our heart stinks and we need a new one day one. You know, we come, and even when we come day one, we usually realize the full measure of it. We realize it in part. And then the walk is one of ever-increasing unfolding of revelations about, I need more and more and more of that new heart, Lord, because my old heart is not right. You follow what I'm saying? Isn't that how it works? And we got some people here at the beginning. We got some people here who have been around for a while. But the fact of it is, that's just our experience. And I just want you to understand, I don't care if it takes you a day or 20 years to figure that out. What difference does it make? The only thing that matters is when you figure it out, you know what? God is faithful to help you. He's faithful. And the question is, it's a choice that you have to make. Okay, it's not a choice anybody else can make for you. It's a choice you have to make. Which way do you want to go? Do you want to go His way and submit yourself unto Him, that He can perform that operation of God and put in you a new heart? And are you willing to give up your ways that you might learn to walk in his ways? I mean, these are choices you have to make. Nobody else can make them for you. And God won't make you do them. But if you will do those things, then God will move mightily to do his things that he promises. You follow what I'm saying? He will move mightily to do his things that he promises. And he will put that new spirit within you. And he will take that stony heart out. And you will come to that you may walk in his statutes and keep his ordinances and do them and be his people, and he will be your God. But watch. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Now, let me ask you something. When you look out here at your ways versus God's ways, let's look at just generally for a moment, man's ways versus God's ways. How well do man's ways work out? I mean, that's pretty much when we walk out this door and we look out here, what do we see? Man's ways in all of its variety. Okay? When we walk out there, that's what we see. Do we see the blessing of God inhabiting and operating in and through those things? Do we see his peace, his love, his provision operating? Let's take even those who are successful out here. Let's take the ones who are successful. When they tell you what you should do, right? Because basically, don't we have governments that try and tell us what we should do? And they're usually not made of the ones who people all think of as the losers. They're the ones who won. They're the winners out here, right? I mean, isn't that what it is? They're the winners. Boy, I mean, you should have health care. Okay? Are we having great health care as a consequence? Okay. You shouldn't be hungry. Is everybody being fed as a consequence? Now, I mean, I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican in this, because, you know, the Democrats have their way of telling you how it's supposed to do, and the Republicans have their way of telling you how it's supposed to be, right? Have either one of them succeeded in either of those, any of those things? No, but they sure enjoy telling you what you're supposed to do, right? That's how it is. And yet, does it work? No. All right? We got counselors out here. This country has a multiplicity of counselors now, right? Counselors for everything. Counselors for workplace, counselors for families, counselors for children, counselors for everything. We have more people being counseled today than we've ever had. Boy, are we looking like we're thriving under all of their counsel. Right? Our country's just getting so much better because we're getting so much counsel now. Right? Nah, man, it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. See, these are those detestable things. I want you to understand, these are those detestable things. This word which we hold up and we look, this is not detestable. It may be detestable to them. Okay? Sadly, often it is. But let it not be detestable unto us. Let it be that word of life, and let us put our hope in it, and let us learn, let us yield unto him, that he can change our hearts, that we can be where that seed falls, and it brings forth 30, 60, 100 fold. You know, and we don't always see that. We watched a movie last night. It's called God's Outlaw. It's about William Tyndale. Not the greatest movie in the world, but it's okay. It's not bad. And for those who don't know anything about him, it gives you, you know, some history that you wouldn't know. And William Tyndale, he was determined to see to it that the English-speaking people would have the Bible in their language. He had to leave England to accomplish that, and he had to live as a vagabond and be chased in every corner of Europe and be everybody searching for him, trying to find him, that they could kill him. And in fact, in the end, England didn't get a hold of him. But the Catholic Church got a hold of him and they burned him at the stake. Okay? But you know what? 90% of what we read right here came from his translation. And the reason why we're not reading his translation is there's so few of them. In many ways, because it was such a hated, detestable thing. But what's amazing is, notwithstanding that, within 100 years of his work, first of all, England had become Christian. And the word was set forth in the English language. And with those two things happening, you know what happened? Did not England become the greatest empire of the world? The sun never set on the British Empire, right? Why? Because everywhere they went, this word was taken. That's why in Ghana there are believers. That's why in South Africa there are believers. That's why in Africa and India and all over the world there are believers. Amongst Native Americans there are believers. Why? And do you think that was not a fruitful work? May not have looked particularly fruitful if you'd been William Tyndale, because people were trying to kill you, and ultimately they did, and you ended up not living to be a very old man. Might have been, I don't know if he was even 40 years old yet when he died. I'm not sure exactly how old he was. But that was a fruitful work. Are we willing to yield unto the Lord that we may be people who stand for the sake of others in the truth of God's word, being living testimonies to his love, to his grace, to his power? I can tell you, this town of Northfield can be an oasis. This town, which has been ripped by division for as long as I've been here, I mean, if one side says they want one thing, the other side says, regardless of whether it's a good idea or not, we're not doing that. Because the one thing they agree on is that they can't let the other side ever be right. It's the only thing in Northfield people can agree on, is that. So if you say something to them and they begin to think that might be a good idea, as soon as you tell them whose idea it is, if they're on the wrong side of that divide, it's no longer a good idea. I mean, that's Northfield. Doesn't look like a very promising place, does it? But I tell you what, this place right here truly can be an oasis of the Lord for many. This place right here can not only be an oasis, it can become a living testimony to other communities that are under siege and that are struggling and having difficulties. This place right here, like Plymouth before us in this country, and many other places, can be a place that is fruitful, and that fruit of the Spirit, which is love, goes forth and transforms and touches many lives and is read about. This little place, I don't care how little it is. I don't care. None of that matters. Israel is little. I mean, it's about one of the littlest countries you could ever have. And you tell me which big country had a bigger impact than Israel. England is a very little country, folks. A very little country. You tell me which country had a bigger impact than England. This community is a very little community. This fellowship is a very little fellowship. So what? May this fellowship be mighty in the Word of God. May we be mighty in the Word of God, that all may know that Jesus Christ is real, that everyone may know, regardless of which way they choose to go with it. It's not between us and them, but that they may know. And how are they going to know unless we become mighty in Christ Jesus? Because Christ Jesus is mighty. He was one man. Did not all of Israel know that a man of God had been among them? When John the Baptist came before him, did they not know? They might have rejected him, not wanted to go hear him, not a whole bunch of different things, but they knew. They knew. So I'll tell you what, right here, right now, we got a group that can make known to all the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that's a charge I hope everybody here will choose to take up. Amen.